But thank God for Jesus, who's able to forgive me, who's able to give me a brand new start. Oh, Lord. Yes, Jesus. God is able. He's able. He's able. He's able. I'm trying to hush because he's able. He's able. At this time, we would like to extend the invitation. Invitation to Christ. And remember, I told you, it doesn't matter how bad your past was or is, no matter how many mistakes you've made, you can come to Jesus. If you've never received him as Savior and Lord of your life, you can come right now.
Amen.
And you can receive him as your Savior. I tell you, the Lord is able. He's able to do anything but fail. And he's waiting with open arms. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. And I tell you, as I say, you come just as you are. Stop worrying about what you did. Stop worrying about who you are.
Amen.
Stop worrying about the past. Just move on.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I guarantee you, Jesus will change you. If I look back over my life and see where God has brought me, never in a million years would I have thought that I'd be standing here in anybody's church preaching the gospel.
Amen.
If somebody would have told me that a long time ago, well, they did tell me that, and I laughed at them. I never will forget, and I'm trying to hush. I went to a tent revival, a friend of ours and mine. And we had just come out the club, but they had it on the corner. And we just went in there, and we were sitting in the back. And the priest said, y'all two preachers come up front. And I looking back. And we were looking back, two preachers. He said, yeah, I'm talking to y'all. Y'all don't know it yet. Y'all going to be two preachers. Y'all going to preach. And I said, oh, man, come on. So we went up front, and he started talking. He prayed for us. So we left. And we were laughing at him. Man, this man a fool. Now, my friend, he may have been a preacher because his daddy was a preacher. But the only person they ever preached in my family was my great-grandfather. And I said, I ain't going to worry about that. But I lived to see that man again after the Lord called me to preach. And I said, man, you know, I laughed at you, Reverend, when you told me that. I said, both of us. And guess what? Both of us are pastoring right now. It just goes to show you, sometimes people can see things in you that you don't see yet.
Amen.
Because it was at least about 5 years before I became a pastor after he said, I mean a preacher after he said that.
Amen.
Amen.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m., For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
I can see. Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
The book is Ephesians, chapter 1. Verse number 3, the Bible said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about him? He has blessed us, not trying to bless us. He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's stop right there. Father, I thank you for your word. Grass withereth, flowers fade, but your word will stand forever. Thank you for all God's children that are gathered here. Holy Spirit, I pray for your anointing. I pray that every burden be removed, every yoke be destroyed. We stand in agreement with the word of God. Have your way in this house. Speak through me. Use me to be a channel of blessing and not a curse. Glorify yourself in this house. This is your church. These are your people. Now I step back that you may step up. I thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The passage I just read to your hearing will be the foundation of our topic this morning. And the topic for our discussion is titled The Secret to Manifestation. The Secret to Manifestation. It is so important that we just don't talk about Jesus. That we just don't sing about Jesus, that we can see the promises of God manifested in our lives. So I encourage you this morning to pay attention, because I just don't want you to live through life and not experience the goodness of God in this land of the living. The big question is, how do we get the word of God manifested in our lives? The passage said, God has already blessed us. He's not trying to do it, he already did it. That means you are blessed. That means I am blessed. But every now and then, people ask the question, if I'm blessed, why am I still going through hell? Why am I going through all these challenges if I'm already blessed? Pastor, you said I'm already healed, and yet my body is riddled with pain. What am I missing? Well, that one verse I just read to your hearing gave you a clue. He said, God hath already blessed you. He already blessed me, but that blessing is in heavenly place. Here you need to recognize that there are different levels and different dimensions in the kingdom of God. There is the heavenly realm, and there is the earthly realm. There's the spiritual realm, and there's the natural realm. In other words, there's a spiritual world out there, and there's a physical world that you and I live in. So what I'm about to show you is how you can bring what God said is in the spiritual realm to the physical realm where you live. It's there. You're already blessed. It's in heavenly places. But it won't do you any good if you don't know how to bring it to the earth realms. Because right now, you are in the earth realms. You see what my assignment is? So how do we manifest what God has promised or what God has done for you and me that is in spiritual realm and we want to bring it to our earthly realm? For a case study, you see, the lawyer and me, I always think of cases. There is a story in the book of Genesis chapter 11 that illustrates what you and I need to do to bring to pass our healing, to bring to pass our deliverance, to bring to pass, to manifest our blessings, our miracles. You remember the story in the book of Genesis chapter 11. How the people of God decided to build a tower. They were going to build this tower that can go all the way from the earth to the heavens. See, human beings are always trying to connect with the heavenly. Why is that important? Because if you remember in the story of creation, when God made heaven and earth, he also made a garden. He put that garden on earth, and he put Adam and Eve there. And the Bible says God will come and hang out with Adam and Eve. Am I still in the book? But when you read Genesis chapter 3, then you will find out that Satan came and tricked this couple. And as a result, they violated the rules of God. Am I still in the book? Then what happened, ladies and gentlemen, because they violated God's rule, the punishment was separation. So now all of a sudden, heaven is removed. So now there's a gap between mankind and God. God really not only separated them, now they're denied access. What they used to have. How God will come down to hang out. Now that's no longer happening. Because God cannot hang out with sin. They lost access to God. They lost what in theology we will call sacred space. So now there's a gap, there's a distance. So all the blessings that God has in stock for you and me is now stored in heavenly places. We got to figure out how do we bring it down. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're reading the word of God, you see it again. Things get worse. In Genesis chapter 6, then we see a story where the sons of God, many angels, fallen angels, I might add, that were kicked out of heaven for being rebellious. That's another sermon it said. Because rebellion, the Bible says it's witchcraft. Many of you as a child of God, the only hindrance to your miracle is your rebellion. Your hands are too short to box with God. Sit your behind down and obey what God says. So you and your children can be blessed. These fallen angels, guess what they did? They came down on earth and they were messing with human beings, the girls. Can you handle the truth this morning? And they were making babies that look like giants. That's a violation of God's rule. And then now you see another effort in Genesis 11. Why are human beings messing up over and over again? Because they're trying to regain access to God. Have you ever wondered why these people want to build a tower? So they can gain access and reconnect and regain sacred space that they have lost. The problem is that while they were building this tower, their motive was wrong. In fact, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible identifies what their goal, what their motive is. Number one, there were two goals they had in mind. Number one is to reach God. Their second goal is even more troubling. They want to make a name for themselves. So guess what's wrong with this picture? Their motive is wrong. Now, I can be preaching before you this morning. I can dress up and whoop and holler. But if my motive ain't right, God will not bless that. Let me help all of you pastors out there, singers, musicians. Anything you do for the Lord, if your heart ain't right, God will not be a part of that. So guess what God did? He came down from heaven. This is why I'm always hard on my singers and musicians. I say this is more than just having fun. I like singing. I don't care what you like. We are here to serve God. This is His show. We are here to honor Him. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let all of us exalt the name of the Lord together. And when there's somebody in the group, the whole choir is messed up. If he ain't right. Israel got their behind kicked. They could not fight a little town called Ai because there was somebody in that camp. It is very, very important that all of you ministers, that you're on the same page. The reason why we are slow to progress in this community is because we are not on the same page. Somebody needs to tell the truth to this generation. My brothers, my sisters, God came down. And guess what God did? He stopped the project. How did he do it? The Bible says he confused them. The Bible says he scattered them. Why? Because back then in the ancient world, they all speak one language. They all one people. And God said, I got to go there and mess this up. Then he says something profound in Genesis 11, verse 6. He said, there is nothing that they cannot do if they imagine it. Underline that word, imagination. It's a gift that God has given to every human being. All we have heard, though, on this subject of imagination is always negative stuff. This is where the body of Christ messed up. The reason why you're unable to collect what God has promised is because the devil has deceived you to think your imagination is no good. But that word imagination is a gift from God. God is saying if they can imagine it, they can do it. In fact, it's so sad that this word imagination is hardly mentioned in the churches. Just ask yourself. Many of you've been going to church since 1902. How many sermons have you heard about imagination? Because the devil knew that's a powerful tool, a powerful weapon, a powerful gift from God. So he hid it from you so you never can use it to collect what belongs to you. Ladies and gentlemen, God created imagination. God gave you your imagination. And God acknowledged during the construction of the Tower of Babel that if you can imagine anything, you can do it. Imagination in modern world is called image making. My brothers, my sisters, I got to warn you. You can use that gift rightfully, and you can use that gift wrongfully. You can use your imagination negatively, but you can use it also positively. How did I know you can use it negatively? You remember in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4 and 5, it said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of stronghold. Am I still in the book? By the way, that word stronghold, I issued between your two ears. The Bible is not really complicated. So I don't want all this big word to scare you. There are things that are going on in your mind. If it's not of God, it becomes a stronghold. So the Bible says God has also gone ahead of you to give you a weapon that you can pull down strongholds. But if you keep on reading, it says you can also pull down imagination. So that is an indication that that imagination, that gift of God, can be used negatively. And when you see yourself imagining negative things, you still are given a weapon that you can pull that negative imagination down. Are you still here? Ladies and gentlemen, my message to you is very simple. If you don't cast that negative imagination, imagination is so strong that whatever negative things you imagine will come to pass. So I'm saying two things. Number one, you have a gift called imagination. You need to be aware of that. Number two, that gift can be used positively or negatively. And I'm saying to you, if you use it negatively, whatever you imagine will come to pass. Some of you go around imagining that your children are dumb. And guess what will happen? They will be the biggest dumbo. Because you cooked it in your spirit. You imagine it. So, but imagine also if you can learn to use that gift of imagination in line with the word of God. If you learn to use the gift that I'm identifying in you called imagination, and you use it positively, you use it in line with the word of God, guess what? Whatever you imagine, like God said, it will come to pass. I just gave you a secret that your pastor has been using for 28 years in your midst. Everything you see happening here, can I confess one thing to you? Most of the local pastors, when they call me, besides, okay, I need some help, I need finance or whatever, the number one question they're asking me, how can you do these things? We've been here in town before you. We are born and raised here. What is your secret? I just told you. Somebody shout imagination. I can close my book and go home. The first key, I'm about to give you some keys now. The first key for you to bring spiritual blessings in heavenly places to manifest on this earth, in your house, in your family, you got to imagine it. You got to see it before you see it. Can you handle the truth? If you can see it, you can have it. If you cannot see it, you will watch other people have it while you just singing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Imagination. I don't care what he says, what she says, what they say. God said, if you can imagine it, you can do it. In other words, whatever you believe in God for, you got to get a picture of it in your head. I didn't know what my guest is going to say this morning. But this building you're sitting in, it was imagined. While it was still grasses on the ground, I saw the building. I came and worshiped in open field. The question this morning, what has been cooking in your head? What is it that's been cooking in your spirit? Can you imagine yourself blessed? Some of you are sick right now. Can you imagine yourself healed? Can you imagine yourself promoted on your job? The Bible says you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Can you see yourself in that executive chair? Key number two. Not only do you have to activate your imagination and get an image of where you're going, what you're believing God for. The second key is that you have to contend for the light. See, if the light is not on in this building, it will be solid darkness. During creation, the Bible says, yes, God created heaven and earth, but the earth was full of darkness. Until God said, let there be what?
Light.
You have to contend for light. Light means knowledge. You got to know what God said about it. If you don't know what God said about it, you will not be able to see it manifested. You cannot receive a blessing that you're not aware of. The Bible is not complicated. My assignment to this region, God strategically placed me. He said, your people have been whooping and hollering for too long. Now you need to teach the word. In season, out of season. My people are perishing for lack of knowledge, lack of light. I heard the story of a gentleman that went on a cruise and traveled on the ship for 7 days. I mention it because our church is going on a cruise again. Some of you already signing up for it. I want every one of you to come along. Even sometime when we go, I preach on the ship. This man went on a cruise 7 days on the sea. Then, if you ever been on a cruise, on the last day, their star will be by the gate saying, thank you for coming along. Hope you enjoy yourself. And they'll be taking your pictures. They'll be waving at you, shaking your hand, hugging you. And then they ask this man, how was your experience? Is this your first cruise? Or have you been cruising? Oh, he said, this is my first one. How was your experience? He said, I had a good time. Then they ask, how was the food? Well, he said, I really didn't go to eat any of the food because I could not afford it. So I brought me some crackers at home. And for 7 days, the Negro, oh Lord, help me, Jesus, was feeding on crackers. And the star was shot and said, oh Lord, have mercy. Don't you know that the money you pay covered everything. But because Brother Baba didn't know. You know what I'm trying to tell you? It is very important that you have the light. That you have knowledge of what God has in store for you. Don't just be coming to church for show or for fashion. I know we're human beings. Yeah, we check each other out. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Me too. One day before we had this fancy night, one day I check out all the shoes of my choir members. I say, the ones that are wearing raggedy shoes, I bind that devil in the name of Jesus. I said, this is a blessed church. I sure did. So we all guilty. But do not make that your major. That's a minor. Yes, I know who smells good. Yes, I know who came to church didn't take shower. Don't look at your neighbor now. But above all that, make sure you obtain knowledge. Thy word is a light. You see how this thing works? If you want God's blessing, real, tangible blessing to manifest in your life, number one, you got to get a picture, got to get an image. Number two, you need the light. You got to contend for the light. I have a brother, since I have a guest from Africa, he can relate to this. I have a brother, he's been here in the church, his name is Samuel. He needed some financial help, and sometimes I'm very busy. So I basically wire the money to him. He said he had an emergency. My wife sometimes wonder whether it's the truth, but I don't even have time. I'm too blessed to be stressed. So I just send the money. And I send it directly to his account. But the brother didn't know. He didn't check it. And so for months and months and months, I'm talking about you church people. You come into church every Sunday, but you have no clue who God is. You have no clue what he's done for you. You have no clue what he has in stock for you. He said, eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. He's not been conceived in the hearts of men what God has in stock for you. But it has been revealed. It's been revealed. Pastor, it was 9 months later when that brother said, I asked for your help and you didn't help me. And it goes on and on. See, a lot of negative things. And while he was running his mouth, all I could do is just pray that God would not strike him dead because I want to do it myself. You know what I'm trying to tell you? It is critical that you know. You see my homegirl there? She will call, it's good to know. I said, man, somebody finally found my page. She said, he's the lily of the valley. I said, yes, sir. She said, he is a bright and morning star. Then she said, it's good to know. But what if you don't know? And you're having a pity party? You're sucking your thumb, being mean and hateful to everybody. Even though God has already healed your body. But you don't know. That's why I have difficult time having a decent conversation with some of you. Because Paul said, there's a time to be babies. That's right, Pastor. You got to grow up. You can't be feeding on milk all your life. At some point, you have to be able to look at the devil and say, it is written. I know not what my mama said. It's not what daddy said. I know God for myself. It don't matter what I'm going through. I'm coming out of this. Like a sheep that tossed and driven by an angry sea. When the storms of life are raging and their fury falls on me, I wonder what I've done that makes this race so hard to run. And I say, my soul, don't worry, oh, the Lord will make a way. I know something, oh, the Lord will make a way somehow. When you know, you can be still and know that God will take care of you, that God will heal your body, that God will. Let him have your body now. Oh, when the loads get down so heavy, the weight he showed upon my heart, there is a sweet relief in knowing, oh, the love will be. Is knowledge. One time on my job, there's a layoff, there's challenges and whatever, and I walk around campus smiling. They say, what is it about this Negro? I told them I know something. When I was homeless on the street of Riverside, California, he made a way. If he can heal me when I was sick, he can heal me now. No devil can scare me with any sickness. What you know will help you. Key number three, I got to hurry up. Just trying to give you some keys today. What's the first key? Imagination. What's the second key? Knowledge. Light. The third key is called meditation. I'm showing you how you can bring your miracle to pass. Meditation. Meditation is very, very important. The miracle you need is already done. The healing you believe in God for is already done. The only question is how you're going to manifest it in the earth realm. I said to you, you're not qualified to receive until you can see it. You got to see yourself blessed. You got to see yourself healed. Don't talk more about the sickness than you talk more about your healing. Get a picture in your head. Get an image in your head. This may sound a little spooky, but I'm telling you, it's working. It's working. Everywhere I go in this community, you know the question they want to know, why are you always happy? They say, why? Are you living somewhere else? Why are you always smiling? Because I know something. This is why God said to Abraham, I got to hurry up. Who, Jesus? Mr. Abraham, I'll give you a child. Abraham's struggling because it's taking years now. No manifestation. God said, here's the deal. Look at the sky. Count how many stars out there. He said, that's how many your children will be. The question, can you see it? He said, Mr. Abraham, you're walking on the ground. Look at the sound. Can you count the grains of sound? Abraham said, man. He said, that's how many children will come out of you. So shall thy seed be. The question is, can you see yourself as God sees you? Now you see why Abraham in the book of Romans chapter 4, beginning from verse 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, the Bible says he became fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that God would do just what he said. I forgot I'm not in court. I was going to say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case. I'm out of here. My brothers, my sisters, how do Abraham go from struggling with the time to now being fully persuaded? One word. Meditation. When God says something, you got to squeeze the juice out. You know what God said concerning meditation? Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It's this book of the law. Don't let it depart from you. Meditate upon it. Meditate upon it. For how long?
Day and night.
You see where God is coming from? You see how you manifest what he has in stock for you? You see how you bring it from the heavenly realm to the earth realm where you live? To your neck of the wood? Meditate upon it day and night. He said, be careful to do what it says. Then he said, then. Not before then, then. You see why many of us don't receive now? When was the last time you really meditate on what God said concerning your healing, concerning your blessing? I was talking to one man of God. He came and shared his problem. And I was patient. I was getting a little agitated, but I didn't want to be rude because he's a pastor, you know. The bottom line, he needs help. Okay, I get it. But I just don't want to write a check. In my spirit, I'm saying, have you been meditating on the word? That's right, Pastor. On the word. I know you're a man of God. You're pastoring two churches. What are you going to do with what God said? To meditate includes speaking to your own self. To meditate includes just pondering, focusing, zooming. You know how you take picture? I was with a friend of mine just not too long ago and had this camera with lenses on. In order to see good, you got to That's what meditation does. You focus. You focus to the point that when you see it, no devil can deny you of what you see. By the time you snap that shot, you will be getting the finest picture. Nobody can kill what you see. Are you? Can you all handle this thing? I know we got to go home. You got to meditate to the point that you see clearly. I've had to do this on some things in my life. I share my story. I live in a glass cup. I told you I was trying to come to America. I had no money. My visa has been denied. They say you're supposed to pay your tuition 1 year tuition ahead, and your school have to certify you have already paid. The Negro has no dime. Then I told you I had a box guitar, and I put a big sign on my guitar that says, I'm bound for my promised land, USA. How do you think I got here? You see the glory, but you don't know my story. I still didn't have my money. My money is funny. My credit is jacked up. But look at me. I'm here in the grace of God. The grace of God brought me. The grace of God sustained me. The grace of God carried me. Somebody shout meditation. I didn't know what was going on in my head, but I wanted a Ford Expedition. I told you my story. My credit was jacked up. It probably still jacked up. I don't know. Now I'm buying cash. Ooh, glory. I don't need no credit. I stopped dealing with all those stupid stuff. Praise the Lord. I meditate. I had an image. Every time all my family, you can ask any of them, they are members here. When I'm driving them, when we see a Ford Expedition, ask everybody, wave your hand. Wave your hand. Wave your hand. I will speak to Ford Expedition. I don't care who is driving it, black man, white man, yellow man, red man. I say, mine is coming. Mine is coming. I went to Winn-Dixie. There's a store right there on 28 East. Now they call it Super One. It was Winn-Dixie. And God is my witness. There was a 2 Ford Expedition parked facing each other. My wife said, oh, that's your car. I said, praise God, this thing is working. Now they believe in my story. So I start driving around it. My wife said, will you please let me go out? No, the devil is a lie. Everybody, we call that kidnapping, by the way. I was driving around that two vehicles 7 times. I said, groceries can wait. This is serious business. And while I was driving around there, I was speaking in tongues. I was praying in tongues. I didn't even know what I was saying, but the Lord understands. See, what am I telling you? I got my Ford Expedition. What is the secret? I had an image. What is the secret? I had the knowledge that my God shall supply all of my need. Not some of my need, not few of my need, all of my need. I saw that light. I began to meditate on it to the point that I was so consumed. I wake up in the morning. I see for the expedition. I go to sleep. I dream of for the expedition. I put a picture for the expedition on my refrigerator. Every cockroach in my house know this Negro won a for the expedition. When are you going to be fully persuaded of what you believe in God for? In conclusion, what I'm saying to you, need to get a revelation of what you want from God. Be so consumed by it to the point that even the devil knows he can't stop you. I'm going to pray with you. I have so much to say, but I don't have time. You see, this church I'm pastoring now, God is my witness. I was not on the final list. You can talk to the old members, they will tell you. They've been through the process. They've done application. They've done interviews. They've had the potential candidates come and preach to them. I was not on the list. More so, they write me a letter. They wrote me a letter. I still have a copy of the letter. I have an official letter from this church saying, you are not going to be a pastor. Your application is rejected. Question, how can somebody who is not on the final list, who has written a letter,